Hello and welcome to Newsmakers for this Monday, April 15th, 2024. I'm Louis Butko and thank you for joining us. And on today's show, I'm very pleased to be joined by the mayor of Burlington, Marianne Mead Ward. A former journalist, Mead Ward was first elected to Burlington City Council in 2010, serving 8 years as city councilor. She was elected mayor in 2018, defeating a two-term incumbent and becoming just the second woman to serve in that role, and was re-elected overwhelmingly for a second term in 2022. In addition to her role as mayor, she is also the chair of the Ontario Big City Mayors Caucus and also represents Burlington as a board member of the Association of Municipalities of Ontario's Large Urban Caucus. And Mayor Mead Ward, thank you so much for joining us today. Great to have you on it. I want to jump into an issue of the day today. The GO Train announcement. Premier Doug Ford was in Milton today. Increased service on the GO line, including every 15 minutes in Oakville. Any reason, any reaction to Burlington, Aldershot kind of being left out of this announcement?
Oh, I'm sure it'll come. But we do have 15-minute service during rush hour, and we also have express trains leaving from Burlington GO station. So, we're well served, and whenever a new community gets additional service, it really helps us all because people have the choice of where they're going to take the train. And we're very fluid here in the GTA. People live in places that are different from where they work. So increased transit investments, I always welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get to your Ontario Big City Mayors. It's a busy week for you, so we appreciate you making the time. But let's jump right into a bit of an issue that's been happening the last few weeks, and that being the strong mayor powers. And I want to quote what you said last week in this. You wrote, "Unfortunately, there has been much speculation, rumor, fear-mongering, and misinformation circulating in the community about the nature of these new responsibilities, about how they have been used or could be used, and the role of councillors that the mayor now runs the city councilor, and councillors are observers." You continue here. "This misinformation has hampered our ability as a council and the community to have the thoughtful, respectful, and fact-based review about this new way of governing together that I was hoping to have just as our new CAO joins us. As a result, the last few weeks have been difficult for staff, the community, and council. It's time to press the reset button." What does that reset button look like, Mayor?
First of all, it looks like reminding ourselves that democracy is still intact. Democracy was never threatened here. We make decisions as a council by majority vote. In fact, our council meeting tomorrow will have 43 different recommendations that council voted on at committee coming to council for us to vote on. So, you know, there are people who think that council members are just observers in decision making, and that's come directly from some council members who, you know, granted the legislation is new, perhaps folks don't quite understand it yet, which is why we need to have a thoughtful conversation. Some residents reaching out to me and saying, you know, that we now live in a dictatorship. And it simply isn't the case. The legislation is there. The mayor has always had a unique role and responsibility in the Municipal Act as the head of council and the CEO of the corporation. Those duties are not terribly well defined in the legislation in terms of what they mean. So this legislation provides some definition to that, whether people agree with what is in there or not. We can have a good debate about that, and we should, but we should be talking about what's real and not what's rumor. And the fact, this notion that council has been completely set aside and no longer votes on the matters before us is simply incorrect and unhelpful. So the most recent debate that we're having, the legislation assigns certain administrative duties to the mayor. There are three of those that can be reassigned either to the CAO or council, and that was the request. Council asked if I would consider reassigning some of those. I reassigned two of the three. So I assigned to the CAO the ability to hire staff and set the organizational structure, and I assigned to council the ability to set up standing committees and assign their chairs and their functions.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned this misinformation. Obviously, you don't want this getting out. Some of it's coming from some of the counselors. How do you not let this kind of get off the tracks? I feel like, you know, your letter last week was the first step in that. But Are you expecting maybe a contentious debate tomorrow at Burlington City Council? Like, how do you kind of keep this on the rails? To go back to our GO Train question at the top there.
Well, I'm going to keep trying to push out information to people that is accurate and fact-based and invite that thoughtful dialogue. So it's actually been really encouraging to see how many people have looked at the letter. We have over 1,700 views now on our website. It's one of our recently one of our most widely shared and circulated and viewed letter. So that was really the first attempt, and I thank the people who took the time to read it in its entirety and try to wrestle through this. Council tomorrow will be another opportunity to level set with folks what is and isn't at stake, and to remind people that democratic decision making has continued throughout this period since the legislation has been in effect for Burlington anyway and a number of other municipalities. That's July 1st. And also remind people that there's built-in accountability and transparency. So the mayor exercises those powers or duties, if you will, by way of mayoral decision. There is a legislated requirement that those decisions be posted online. Folks can see that on our City of Burlington webpage. And you will see the vast majority, if not all of them, in some way implemented a decision of Burlington City Council. And so including actioning all the bylaws that we've passed at our council meeting. So after tomorrow's meeting, I'll write another mayoral decision saying, yep, that's good. I'm not going to veto any of that. And it's approved. And so they're largely at this point quite administrative, and that will continue. But there's built-in transparency. If there's ever a time to use one of the to exercise one of the duties in a different way, that again gets posted online. And so there's been lots of rumors, lots of speculation about what I've used them for or might have used them for. People are relating that to staff changes over the last 8 months, which are completely normal in any large corporation and were not the result of a mayoral decision. You can actually go and see what I've done and see the decisions and separate fact from fiction.
All right. We'll be watching, of course, council tomorrow and see what comes of that. Let's switch topics to housing. Obviously, it's been a topic of conversation for the last few weeks in Burlington. You have talked about the Ontario government's measurement for housing starts. Maybe how it might be a little unfair, but we've seen a lot of announcements in the last few weeks, including Paul Calandra last week, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau last week as well, ahead of the budget. And where is Burlington with its housing? I mean, Burlington's such a unique place, right? And you, like you said, you can't pour the foundations yourself. How do you feel about where Burlington is at when it comes to their housing targets?
We have over 40,000 units in our pipeline, and so some of those will come online every single year. About half of those are really the hope and a dream type of applications where people are just trying to see what they can do with their land. They haven't brought in a formal application, but over half of those are in the application, some stage of application, right up to approved permits. We do have a number, thousands of units tied up at the Ontario Land Tribunal. So I'm confident that we can deliver on our housing pledge between now and 2031. But it's really important to recognize that Burlington is in a very unique situation in that we're mostly high density infill, and those take a lot of months, not only to process on our end, but many, many months to build those foundations before they get counted. In some cases, a foundation for one of these big buildings can be seven stories down. That takes months and months. And so we've explained to the minister, look, we're doing the exact kind of development that you want us to. It's high density infill. It's near our GO stations mostly. It's what you want, but you're going to see nothing while all of that pre-work, and you got to excavate the hole, and then you got to put the foundation in. And CMHD doesn't count it when it's being built. They count it after it's gone all those seven stories and now emerged at surface level. That's when they count all the units. And there's even a lag there for CMHC to get out and count them. So my concern all along has been we'll have nothing for a while, and then we'll have thousands of units coming online. And unless you're building subdivisions, the units don't come in an orderly fashion, 2,900 every year, like clockwork, especially not in our case. So I'm concerned we're going to not meet those targets and not get funding that we need, because our situation is completely different than some other municipalities that have greenfield development.
You mentioned high density. I know you mentioned the Ontario Land Tribunal. It seems like Burlington has been unique in the sense that there have been so many, issues that have gone to the OLT and have been overturned. How do you balance mm-hmm. that as a mayor? Because obviously a lot of people, you need infill, you need housing, but a lot of people are concerned about, that lakefront property. How do you balance those two, that needing to get housing built and wanting to build housing and make Burlington, a better community for people, but also that fight with the OLT? How have you been balancing that? Because it's been a few years now.
Yeah, so my position on the OLT is that it's undemocratic and should be abolished. It overturns. And that's actually a regional council position. I brought a motion last term of council. It was unanimously supported to request that the government dismantle this body. It has long outlived any usefulness it once had. However, because we still have the OLT, we have to keep that in mind when we're making our decisions. And so our conversation is really twofold. I've never been anti-development. It's always been about the right development, the right scale, and the right place. And so that right place for the highest density is near our three GO stations. That's exactly what we are planning. And in fact, a couple of weeks ago, we approved a large development, over 20 stories development near the Aldershot GO station. And so that one's not going to the tribunal. That was probably one of the first times that this council has had an opportunity to vote on an application before it went to the tribunal. So our conversation with the community now is, look, we're going to have development. It's going to be high density. We want to make sure it's in the right place. But more importantly, we want to make sure that it has good community amenities, good streetscape, all of those things that a community needs. And so tell us how we can make this better, how we can make this building not just a big building, but a beautiful big building, a building with green space out front and some public amenities or restaurants or community retail space in the ground floor. And so our conversation is now starting to shift with the community.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your role as the chair of the Big City Mayor's Caucus. This week, you will be hosting, Burlington and the region of Halton will be hosting the annual general meeting. How do you balance that role as well? I mean, as the head of this large organization, as a mayor, because there have to be times, like you said, you're at a housing announcement with the premier, but you're also, upset about not getting this money. What is it about that job that kind of drew you to it?
It's a huge opportunity to have Burlington's voice at the table with decision makers, put our unique needs in front of the government. But together we have learned, the 29 mayors that make up the OBCM caucus, we represent 70% of the population of Ontario. And so we're a big voice, and we come together on those issues where we have shared concerns. The need for infrastructure dollars has probably been one of our biggest, and we've achieved incredible success with this government with the recent announcements in the budget, $1 billion in infrastructure funding, topped up with another billion very recently, and then the water and wastewater dollars. So that I credit that to a lot of voices coming forward, but certainly ours were a strong advocate of the need for that. And so that's the success, and that keeps money in the pockets of our residents that we don't have to tax them for. for on top of all the other things that they pay for. So it's a really important, it's an important opportunity. It's a very important group, and we've started to make our voice heard on behalf of all of our residents.
You mentioned in the release, you wrote about this, we're being asked as municipalities to fund things through property tax base of a range of services that were never contemplated 100 years ago when this was put into place. The province's costs, AMO have estimated that to the tune of about $4 billion. So the funding in the budget, very welcome, a big step in the recognition that you can't do it alone. Where can you go from here now? The federal budget announcement, obviously, you know some of the things that are coming from that, but what are you hoping for, in the next few months, next few years, when it comes to just the funding that your city needs, that Ontario City needs, to get these ambitious housing targets built?
Well, we've asked at both, so OBCM has asked, AMO, which is the Provincial Association of Municipalities, FCM, which is the Federal Association, all three of us are singing from the same songbook, that we actually need a complete reset in the relationship between municipalities to the federal and provincial governments. And that's not just on funding, which clearly they've all now started to recognize is inadequate, and they're giving us, they're starting to now give us significant investments, which is very much appreciated, but also on the matter of policy. I mean, something that was just recently changed in the provincial housing legislation was our own ability to adjust tax rates for purpose-built rental. We didn't have that ability to just do that because it made good policy sense if we want to incentivize purpose-built rental. We have to wait for the provincial government to change that policy. So the province has had a City of Toronto Act in recognition that they need a special set of regulations and perhaps more permissions. They've recently now done a new deal with Toronto and added Ottawa. And so we have said, look, every municipality needs a new deal in the Federation, a new deal with their provincial partners and with our federal partners. We cannot continue to run cities the way we have, based on a 100-year-old model. And so the whole thing needs a do-over and a rethink and a reset. And it's not just about money. It really is about autonomy and decision-making and who does what. And that's the conversation that has been started really over a year ago, we're having that very intently now with the announcements of the new deals.
Let's talk about Burlington. I know we've been talking about Burlington, but let's talk about your city. You've been mayor 6 years now, a term and a half. When you look back on your time, 6 years, what are you most proud of when it comes to your accomplishments in the city?
We are investing in parks, in community centers. We've purchased several parks during my time and expanded. We're looking at more of those opportunities with redevelopment, obviously, and partnering with developers to get more green space for our community. We've invested in two community centers, so a redo of the Skyway. So it's really nothing like it was before. It'll be an NHL-sized rink, warm viewing centers, community meeting space, and of course we purchased Robert Bateman High School, now the Robert Bateman Community Center under construction, that will have a library. The school board will maintain some space in there. We have Brock University coming to town. The gyms are there, the pool that we didn't own, so we preserved and protected that, but now we do. So these are community amenities that we've really needed to increase and enhance because of our growing population, and we're not done yet. Those are things that are going to be needed, especially in our GO station areas where there's going to be high density. We want people to be able to walk outside, go to a community center, go to a rink or a library, go to a store, go to one of those places and get what they need so they don't have to get in their car. We've also made major investments in transit and transportation and made transit free for low-income folks, for students after hours, for youth under 12, and seniors 365 days a year, 7 days a week, seniors over 65 ride free. And it's our way of trying to get more people to use the bus. And we've seen incredible results, double-digit increases in ridership as a result of those changes. So those are, I could talk all day, but those are just some of the big ones that I care passionately about. And directing development to the right place. So that's been a big shift to get it out of neighborhoods. We have modest growth in those areas, but the major density will be where it belongs, around our GO stations.
You mentioned the GO station. Let's talk about the Aldershot. There was a presentation before the city recently, and you mentioned the possibility of another satellite campus for a post-secondary education. Mm-hmm. The Aldershot development, what do you see as the future there? Where do you see that area? Because again, it's a great spot. We all know where it is, but how do you see that development growing the community of Burlington?
This is a signature parcel, a major parcel in the city, and really will show the way for what we mean when we say a complete community. It will have its vision for that site is to have post-secondary, to have a major community space, sports facility or arena. We know we need that space. Lots of new residential development, and that can accommodate rental, condo, different types of housing units. A huge park space in there, retail will be part of that. And this really is going to be the showcase for how we want all of those new major areas around our GO stations to develop. We want it to have all those amenities. It's not just about, a place to lay your head. It's not just about a high rise, and then you have to get on the train or somewhere else to get what you need. We want all of that together as a complete community, and we know we need more community amenities. So it's a really exciting time for us to see that vision unfold and to bring the community along in these conversations and hear what they've got to say. And we've got some more community engagement soon to be announced on all of this, so stay tuned.
That's a tease. Of course you would know that in this business. That's a tease, so I guess we'll have to bring you back once that's announced. The one thing you mentioned is sports. You mentioned an arena. How open would the city of Burlington be in supporting a potential OHL franchise with mm-hmm. this new facility?
We're open to any and all options, including that one. And I think the key for us is partnerships. We know that we need to partner with the private sector, and that includes sports franchises to get these to get these structures built. But also it is really great if you can have a rent paying tenant for a long period of time. That's a guaranteed source of revenue. And we don't always have that in our community facilities. But that was the brainchild of Robert Bateman High School, where we have four partners who help pay not only for the purchase of it, but now for the ongoing operating, that have co-located space, lots left over for the community as well. But that's how it's going to happen. These are major, $100 million-plus dollar investments in many cases. And so we need to partner with the private sector, either on land or on operating or on capital or all of that.
So the Burlington Bulldogs, possible. There's good alliteration there, but any truth to those rumors?
Bring it
conversations?
On.
Bring it on.
You know what? We're open to talking to anybody and everybody who wants to partner with us. So we would love to, the sky's the limit, really. We need to dream big and make it happen for our community. And I've had a lot of people say, certainly, that we need more ice. We need more ice, and we need more ice time for the demands and this would be community space for them too, as well. Of mm-hmm. course.
Yeah, absolutely. Mayor, I really appreciate making the time. I know you're very busy. You're hosting, like you said, 28 other big city mayors in Burlington this week. So I appreciate you making the time to join us today.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. My thanks to the mayor of Burlington, Marianne Mead Ward, for joining me today on Newsmakers. Make sure you subscribe to CHCH Podcast so you never miss an episode of this show or any of the other great shows we have for you, including Sportsline with Bubba O'Neill that you can catch every Tuesday to Friday here on CHCH Podcast. My thanks to Mike Corsten for directing today's episode, and my thanks to you as well for joining us, because we could not do the show without your support. So thank you, thank you, thank you. From all of us here at CHCH, I'm Louis Butko. Have a great day.